Really cool video. I dug into my backstory with friends of the show, Tim Miller and Cameron Caskey. We talk about how I got here, my earlier videos. They ask me if I'm gay or straight, which I answer halfway through. So stick around, drop a like, and check this out.
Adam Mockler is maybe the Zoomer at this point. I don't know if they make him any tougher than this guy. Adam does YouTube. He does the television. And he loves with his true human heart the whole
He's a debate lord. Like you, he does not have a college degree, which is really important because it's important for the people in the pro-democracy movement to appeal to folks that are not good at standardized testing. We're doing really well. Like we're kind of playing above our pay grade with people that do well on standardized tests, not doing that great with like your C student. Or your student that is entrepreneurial, like Adam Mockler, and decided that he didn't want to be chained by the confines of Ball State University or wherever it was that he went, and he needed to spread his wings and fly. And I appreciate
that. Thank you guys for introing me right after the really serious virginity talk and then talking about how I appeal to college dropouts because I am one. Thanks for the beautiful.
You're welcome. That's good. That's called credibility. That's called like setting the credibility for the guests, for the audience.
Yeah.
So, Adam, before we get into all of the bells and whistles and the real meat of the discussion today, and before a big announcement that I have about a new Bulwark event coming up, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? You know, some people watching this might have seen you on CNN debating with 60-year-olds who are tripping over themselves. They might see you on the Miatis Touch Network, hanging out with the fellas over there, whose names I am aware of. But what got you into the ideological sparring match, the lion's den of ideas?
Yeah, my quick elevator pitch. I run a YouTube channel with like 1.5 million followers. I made this.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. We don't need to be taking out our follower cock at the beginning of the episode. No.
But listen, it comes back. I made this exact channel when I was like 9 years old. And I used to make all these dumb ass Minecraft videos. I used to edit all these videos, but I got really good at editing in the process. I remember in elementary school, I got kicked out for like debating my teacher about gay marriage. I was probably being a little jackass. And then after high school, after I stopped doing the Minecraft videos because I wanted to get girls or do whatever, I realized, wait a minute, I can combine my video editing skills. I can combine my like speaking skills, politics skills. And I started hitting these Trump rallies. The first video on my channel that's public is me hitting a Trump rally and debating all the supporters. And I think there's this vibe where my baby face kind of disarms them immediately and they don't expect me to kind of like debunk what they're saying in the moment. Since then, I've signed the Midas. They've helped me really build the infrastructure under me. And then I've used that as a launching pad to do these more high profile debates, which the same baby face disarm thing, I think, works.
I had a couple of follow-ups there. So yeah. Your first private video was you debating Trumpers, which was a great way to start. Like you just jumped in. Or your public. First public video. Your first public video is you debating Trumpers, which is a great way to start to get into your debate lord career. The private videos, though, like what are the, give us a couple of the like more embarrassing ones that are behind the lock and key.
Dude, so the first one is me playing Minecraft. There's one, I hit 200 subscribers, so I did a special video where I was in like a bath answering questions. I was
in
like
the bathtub? 13.
Yeah, I had like a swimsuit on. It was like a joke, but yeah, this is still private on my
channel. Did you have like rubber duckies around you or were there bubbles? Was it a bubble bath?
Yeah, it was pretty. No, there were no rubber duckies. It wasn't that infantile. I was still like 12 years old, but I was answering questions. And man, Scott Jennings is going to, these MAGA people are going to love this, love hearing that I'm just.
That used to be a bathtub baby. Okay, and another thing that you noted is that you were trying to get girls. I noticed you specifically said the word girls, which means that you might be the rare pro-democracy 23-year-old purely heterosexual male. Is that right? Are you somewhere in the LGBTQIA+2S community?
I'm purely heterosexual.
Wow. So, holy shit.
Do you identify
that?
Is
like
as
a fucking albino giraffe.
Am I an ally? Cam, you weren't listening to the story. I got kicked out of class because I was debating my teacher about gay marriage.
Well, you didn't say what side you were debating on. You just said you were debating gay marriage.
My teacher was too pro-gay, and I got kicked out of class for slurs, apparently.
Yeah. You're like, why can I not say the F slur? Yeah. Okay, is this a free country? Can I not say the F slur in my first freshman year sociology class?
And that laid the groundwork for where I am.
I used to debate my fifth grade teacher about foreign policy and shit, and I didn't really know what I was talking about. But since you know, becoming an adult, I sort of looked back and said, you know what? I was probably right a little bit more than I thought I was.
Congrats.
And his son ended up becoming an NFL player. So you really got to hand it to him. I think he does steroids now. So, Mark, you went from Minecraft to bubble bath videos when you were a 12-year-old boy to debating Scott Jennings. I feel like there still is a bridge that we need to establish here before we get to the meat of it all, because something must have happened in between Minecraft bubble bath, Trump rallies, and Abby Phillips.
I don't know. I made music in high school. I got my heart broken. I grew up. I don't know. Like
I'm saying, were you in like a shadowy bar and like a mysterious figure just emerged behind you? And it was like one of the Miatis brothers. And then another one came up and they all recruited you.
The raw story on how I blew up? Okay, so I had all these skills in editing and everything. So when I started to go to college in Northwest Indiana, I took this film class. In this film class, I used it as sort of a launching pad to test out my first political video. So I made sure we made this like skit where it was a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas knockoff. And I was like, two bags of grass. We had Rick and Morty bladder acid. Play a clip.
I told the librarian everything.
No, you didn't, bro.
He knows about the weed. He knows about the acid, the vodka.
Nigga, what?
Aw, never called me that before.
Bro, what kind of... Bro, the narcs, they're fucking outside.
And then I realized I can still edit really, really well. So then I emailed a bunch of cameramen in Iowa. Two states over. I said, hey, there's a Trump rally in 3 days. Can we please go? Like, is there any chance we can do this? One cameraman replied and said, yo, this is my only free weekend. Let's try it out. So I drove there. I met him. And 2 years later, this is like my main cameraman. So yeah, we filmed it. We edited it and it worked out well. David Pakman showed it on his channel and it got my video like 100,000 views. And that kind of shows you how it made its way around the internet. And then boom. Yeah, just a lot of luck. A lot of timing.
Amyl nitrates. That's amazing. Well, Cameron, you said you're in charge of the show today. So what are we going to talk about?
Adam has been going viral recently a lot for his debate lording. And I think that with Tim going on and asking Dean Cain what basic rights are when Dean Cain is signing up to go after grandmas and babysitters, and Adam doing his shit with Scott Jennings and the other dorks, I kind of wanted to have a conversation about the state of debate right now and what it means to be debating people in an environment where on the right, the tactic to handle really anything is almost always just lie. It raises a question of like, how do you engage in some sort of pursuit of any greater truth with people who, when, you know, if their ideas are pushed to the limit or tested in any way, are just going to make up some shit about transgender illegals. So I thought it would be appropriate for us to look at a few clips of Mockler on television debating and just pick them apart a little bit and take the temperature.
What about Mike? We're not going to do Howie Reels of me. We're only going to do Mockler.
Well, I just feel like the people who watch this already see all of the
I thought we were going to kind of rank. I thought we were going to sort of rank each other.
I said include a clip of Tim and Dean Cain. I said,
fucking with you. That's fine. People have seen my highlight reel. We'll see how Mockler stacks up. Let's check it out.
The party that promised to defeat the deep state very quickly became the deep state. Pam Bondi says, I have the list on my desk right here. They're rather silent for a few months. Then Elon Musk says, Trump is in the Epstein list. Then within weeks, apparently the list is gone. I mean, I'm looking at this photo of Jack Posobiec holding up the Epstein files. It says the Epstein files, phase one. But where's phase two? There's no phase two.
He actually helped Epstein be prosecuted. He was the only person who was involved. Kicked him out of the Epstein. You know all this. Like, it's just a very
Have you heard of Alexander Acosta? You were duped to cover up sexual abuse of
children. Donald Trump was
kicked
him out of his.
Alexander Acosta was a Florida district attorney. You can look this up. He knew both Trump and Epstein. He was appointed as a secretary of labor under Trump and had to resign in 2017 because people found out that he mishandled the Epstein case in 2007 and let Epstein get an illegal plea deal. Epstein was then able to go reoffend, and Trump appointed him in 2017. So I don't want to hear the dude that was brought to the White House to cover up sexual abuse saying that there was, what are you trying to say here? Yeah.
You got to wipe your face? Can you just wipe that little thing off your face there a little bit? You got a little,
right, hold
got
on a
little
second.
Mud on your face.
So you have no points.
Hold on a second.
This motherfucker, I hadn't shaved that morning, and he thinks that that's a valid comeback to getting rolled on TV about covering up pedophilia.
Pizzagate Jack learning from Carrie Lake. In one of my debates with Carrie after I'd cornered her, she was like, why do you dress like a 13-year-old boy? It's not a bad attack. I will say, like, I guess points, you know, if you don't have any substantive points to make fun of my fit, is like, it's kind of better than some of the alternative options there. But that was pretty good. Can we talk about Piers for a second before we talk about CNN? Because I think that one of the interesting questions is, like, which I wrestle with, and I'm wondering if you do too, Adam, which is, like, why do this? Like, there you are. It's you and Pizzagate Jack and a fat guy and another fat guy, neither of whom are identifiable to my eye.
Zero good outfits on the entire panel, by the way.
Zero good outfits.
And that includes you and your fucking athletic t-shirt.
Yeah, Adam, your sweaty tee. Your sweaty tee was the best of a bad bunch there.
Zero drip.
To be fair, I probably should have shaved. But no, to answer Tim's question, I think it's really important for us to be in these spaces, because if not, maybe a weaker debater would have been there, or we wouldn't have been there at all and had no representation. And in the attention economy that we all currently live in, being in these spaces and making sure that you dominate the narrative with the facts, or with at least fact patterns that people wouldn't hear otherwise. Because think about who's watching Piers Morgan. They think the average liberal is the soyest person possible. And when they see
soyest, that's S-O-Y-E-S-T, soyest.
Yeah, the soyest person possible.
That's a great
word.
And when
they see someone like Tim.
And for people in our audience who don't have the newspeak of soy, it's my understanding that soy is sort of like, I was going to say beta, but that's also kind of newspeak. Soy is low testosterone.
Yeah, being a wuss.
I'd say on the soy spectrum, when they see like Tim and I on there, they're like, oh, these guys aren't as soy. They're like, they're a little bit less.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, well, I should take off my pearls. That's why I take off my pearls sometimes when I go on, because that does give me a little bit of a soy vibe. So your view is you have to be on there to give pheromones, you know, in case there's some dudes on there that just are under the impression that all libs are not. You know, have no musk, have no, you know, that's why you're on there?
Just to clarify, no, it's not that. It's to basically be able to dominate the narrative in a palatable way. Like, number one, like, yeah. I said, it's the attention economy. If we can go on there and put up decent arguments, the way that you operate on Piers Morgan, Tim, is really solid, because you speak like it's intuitive and like it's common sense. You're like, these people just want to come here to do this. And it's like all common sense. And it actually comes across really, really strong. Imagine if you would have denied that, and instead some unhinged liberal comes on and isn't able to make the arguments as well. Then we're ceding territory online. Somebody that already has a preconception of liberals as weak and weird will then see liberals as weak and weird. And yeah, I think it's just important for us to be out there. Really quickly, a lot of people in my audience always say, why do you give air to MAGA? Don't give air to Charlie Kirk and MAGA platforms. It's like, dude, Charlie Kirk is the air. They are the air right now. So we're fighting an uphill battle. We're like Sisyphus pushing a boulder up a hill every single day trying to fight back. And we have to be in these spaces.
What if the argument is that this is all just fucking entertainment? And like, it's like watching a car wreck. It's like rubbernecking. It's just like people just want to see, you know, the people that watch Piers are just like already have their ideological, you know, priors, and like they just want to see fights and they just want to cheer for their guys and like make fun of the other guys. And so like, you're not actually convincing anybody. I have a counter to that, but I'm curious what yours would be.
I think that you can't change the playing field. I think that what you just said right there is essentially the playing field of politics. And that's proven every single time Trump steps on the stage. But right now, Republicans are fucking whooping our ass on this attention playing field. They have all these WWE type figures. Half of Trump's cabinet he plucked off of Fox News, and they're like melting down off of booze in front of our military generals, right? So the point is, if that's the playing field right now, we need people out there who can be punching back and playing on that field. And I agree, it shouldn't be that way. I wish it could be more substantive. But what's your counter?
Yeah, my answer to that is it's not for the people watching the full hour. And that's not who I'm trying to reach, frankly. I mean, maybe I'll reach somebody that's watching the full hour that is interested in what I say. But it's all about clips. Like, here's the thing about, you mentioned Charlie Kirk, and how he is the heir. The average person, you guys actually tell me if I'm wrong about this, but my perception is like the average 23-year-old like is consuming politics almost entirely through short form video. And they're getting it on TikTok or Reels or maybe YouTube Shorts, but like mostly TikTok and then a little bit of the others and maybe a little Snap. And the preponderance of what they're getting is like Charlie Kirk debate, Ben Shapiro debate me, bro. I'm owning libs videos. Like that's one thing that they're getting. They're getting goofy Trump stuff that like kind of makes him look goofy, but also is kind of funny, like makes them laugh a little bit. And they're getting like crazy libs. Like here is like a far left person like using weird language about, you know, Latinx or whatever. And like, you know, they're being made fun of. Right. And like, they're sure there's other clips in people's feeds of like politicians saying politician stuff. But like the dominant stuff out there that they're getting is either conservatives positioning themselves as winning this thing, Trump goofy stuff, lib crazy stuff. And like me going on and in my own bubble and just getting on my soapbox is fine. Like that gets out to my listeners and all people that follow me and they like that stuff. And maybe they share that with their friends. But like the only way to break into that world of like the casual is to do a funny thing, like beat the fuck out of Dean Cain about ICE in the hopes that that like clip is now. So now when the like non-political 23-year-old is going through their For You page, it's like, oh, here's Charlie Kirk, RIP, owning somebody. Here's this guy I'm just meeting, Tim Miller, owning this deuce, this Superman guy. Here's whatever, right? You know what I mean? Like kind of so to bring balance to that. Maybe that's wishful thinking. I don't know. What do you think about
that? I also have mixed thoughts about the matter because generally speaking, like, I think the debate stuff is like intellectually so dumb because the example that I use is if you go up and you're debating somebody and you say, Trump sending ICE to do this to migrants is against the law. And the person you're debating says, oh yeah, what law? And you can't immediately name the exact law that it's violating. And you go, it's against the law. You lose and you look like the fucking idiot. And then the debate ends and you Google it and it's like, oh, the something act of 19
that
something,
is a problem
whatever.
For debate losers. But matter, that's not a problem
a
for me and
memorization
Mock.
Game.
Okay, well, that's not a problem for me and Mock, is that we never get cornered like that. But so continue. What are your other concerns? Because that one is resolved by never being cornered.
It doesn't matter about this specific example. The point is, it is very often a memorization game where your ability to perform in a certain way is more
no,
under
right.
consideration
no doubt.
Than the pursuit. But the other thing that I say, and this is just kind of building off of what you were saying, is I feel like there's a lot of people who are not, you know, policy wonks that want to get into the politics of it all, that see the act of debate as, you know, so intrinsically tied to the validity of a certain mindset. And that was, you see that with how people talked about Charlie Kirk. They were like, oh, say this about Charlie Kirk, say that about Charlie Kirk. He was willing to debate people. He was willing to go where they were at. And that is so often like an integral part of how people treat the seriousness of what you're saying, your willingness to go into other places, including not your home field, and debate it. And that's sort of how I feel where so like, while I think that if you really pick apart the actual mechanics of what debating is, it is not some substantive search for a greater truth that involves an exchange of ideas, but it is important in the sense that if this is going to be team sports, not showing up on the field doesn't mean you're winning the game. It means you're not showing up on the field.
I would add just one more thing that's not mentioned in your take, Mark, like to take us out of it. Like let's bring in Mehdi, who's a good example. Like I don't love that, you know, all the Jubilee stuff, like some of it like is a little cringe, of course. And it's, you know, but I see what they're trying to do and I get that. I appreciate that. Mehdi, like going in and debating those 20 Nazis, like I think was like pretty important in that it was the first time in a while that that trend that I talked about how people were being fed in their feeds, you know, a lot of, oh, look at this crazy lib shouting about whatever land acknowledgement, whatever the stupid thing is of the day, like the most extreme person on the left does on a college campus at some protest and having that represent the whole left. Like there wasn't any balance to that. And that Mehdi video happened and all of a sudden people are starting to share this and being like, whoa, they're like people who say that they're Nazis on campuses now. Like I thought that the Dems were just accusing Republicans of being Nazis, but like here are like three dudes who are like, no, yes, I'm a racist. I'm quoting Carl Schmitt. I feel like that's useful to get that out there.
So useful. And we were ceding so much ground in the clip economy. We still are, because the right-wing ecosystem, to build on what you were saying, Tim, they've created this sort of pipeline. I always call it the pipeline to volume theory, because they have all of these online pipelines that suck young men and women down, or people of all ages. So say you're a young dude and you're into working out, you work out a bunch, and you eventually get sucked down this pipeline that's like, make America healthy again. Or say that you're a young dude who has dating problems, like every 17-year-old has. You eventually get sucked down the pipeline to Andrew Tate stuff. There's young mothers who get sucked down the vaccine pipeline. Young people who don't like AIPAC are now watching Nick Fuentes. I can continue to go, but they have these pipelines. Or Candace Owens, whatever it is. If you're slightly into something, they suck you down the pipeline, then it hits you with volume, volume, volume. I have so many friends who are vaguely Christian, and now they're obsessed with Charlie Kirk videos. Like, the volume of Charlie Kirk videos that are out there, thousands, maybe even like 10,000 Charlie Kirk debate clips, just surf, maybe not that many, but a lot of Charlie Kirk debate clips out there on the internet.
I think that many for sure.
Yeah, the point is they have so much volume that we need to be countering that with our own volume, creating our own pipelines. And Cameron's right, it does kind of turn into a game of whack-a-mole sometimes. Like, when you're debating a conspiracy theorist, they'll have all these random theories that pop up and you have to like endlessly whack them down, even if you don't know what they're talking about. But overall, debate is good. And this next clip of me on CNN with Scott Jennings, if we could play that, I think could be a decent
example. Hey, who's the host of the show? Mock, yeah. Whose channel are we on? Right
I'm
now?
Taking it over.
See,
I'm
Cameron, sorry. See, this is how he does. This is why he doesn't get cornered like you. You know, like when in doubt.
When have I ever gotten cornered?
I saw the soy radiating out of Tim, and I said, "Sorry, I gotta."
I don't know when you've ever. I've never seen you get cornered, but you seem very concerned about it. That you're not going to know the immigration law of 1986, and that's going to prevent
well,
you
I
from
just,
debate.
I, you know, prolonged adolescent cannabis use made it so my synapses don't fire very quickly, and the neurons in my brain
you just
got to
offset that
easily.
with some uppers. The host has a question now.
One of the other things, and this kind of goes to what you were saying about the conspiracy theorists, Adam, is one of the things I struggle with is when you're debating somebody and they say so many things that are nuts in one breath that you have to pick your battle and figure it. When we had Natalie Winters, who's Steve Bannon's cam on the show, she, like, Tim and I would just be sitting there and she would go on for 2.5 minutes at a time. And in those 2.5 minutes, make 7 to 9 insane assertions. And then we had to figure out, like, okay, which of these do we like go with? But anyway, Dante, let's take a look at this clip of Adam and Scott Jennings.
And I think at the same time.
So now we have two people here who are saying it's Donald Trump's fault.
Scott,
that someone shut up an ICE facility.
Nobody is saying that.
You literally said that.
Listen, let me finish.
And then you agreed with it.
You want to know what I said? I said Donald Trump created this environment over the past decade. You sat here and said, I need to take responsibility. I'm a 22-year-old YouTuber. You hold me to a higher standard than the man that
I'm holding you to your standard of your punditry.
Donald Trump was just vomiting vitriol out of his mouth about how the other party is weak and evil. And he just said, the party of hate, evil, and Satan. You blind yourself to that, and you're focusing on a 22-year-old YouTuber.
Dude, I like how you covered your eyes when you said blind yourself. That type of gesticulation tells such a good story.
What is, I'm curious what the Jennings vibe is like with you at the commercial break. Can you talk about that a little bit? Then we'll do the debate stuff. That's what the people really want to know.
He's fine. He's affable. He's a nice dude.
Yeah. He's from, well, I don't know about nice. He's affable, though. I had one of the worst hours of my life was after Joe Biden had a medical event on the stage in the most important debate in modern history. Then I was there in Atlanta to do spin afterwards. Luckily, it was so bad that nobody wanted me to spin because they needed to like call in more important people than me to come on TV. So it was like a moment of seriousness. They didn't need a clownish YouTuber to come in. So that was nice. But and the next day at the airport, I walk up, I'm in the security line, and fucking Scott Jennings walks behind me in the security line. Like, what are the odds? I had to wait in the I am TSA pre, but I had to wait in the security line for like 6 minutes with Scott Jennings. And it was a true nightmare, somebody I've known for a long time. And he was so smug and so happy. And I was just like, this is a cosmic punishment for me. This is a cosmic punishment. I was paid off last week, though, because I got into the security line next to Ezra Koenig, and we got to hang out and vibe out. People can Google who that is if they want. But anyway, the value of debating on CNN versus the YouTube stuff. Talk to me about that. Is that like brand building, or do you think that there's a point of going on CNN?
You're clip farming. You're getting the clips that you want to put on people's For You pages, and they fucking clips are everywhere. And it's like, I love you, Adam. You're my friend. But it's like, you're my friend. I want to be able to look at social media and watch baseball clips and look at Legos and lizards and stuff. And it's just fucking clips of you on CNN the whole time.
That's right.
Some of it is brand building, but honestly, as I was going on the show for the past few months and like prepping for it, especially, this is going to sound arrogant, but I was turning on mainstream media like CNN or MSNBC. Yeah. And I was thinking a lot of our pundits are just boring. A lot of the people on our side are a little bit bored. Is this
present
me?
Present company excluded. That's all. Are you not watching my Nicole Wallace hits? I mean, I'm fucking lighting the room on fire for those ladies. You know, the wine grandmoms.
On MSNBC, I do impressions of people. Like, there's multiple clips of me doing funny voices on it. All right. So maybe be a little bit more specific, because present company is doing a pretty good job.
I'm clearly not talking about you guys. I'm saying generally when I turn on the I'm not talking about my friends that go on TV and do hits. I'm saying when I turn on the mainstream prime time, I'm just not as captivated as when I go on YouTube and I watch you guys who pull 100 million views a month or 200 across platforms. Like, you guys clearly are the outlier in what I'm saying here because you have online profiles. But I'm just like, yeah, I think mainstream media needs more personality, needs people who can push back. And I think that, we need people who can do a good job. I think, Tim, you do a good job on Piers Morgan.
Thank you. I have another question for you. Can you...